New York's Nash FM 94.7 cares about our community. We're talking about issues that matter to you and your family. This is Nash Matters with Tiffany Marie.
We're back with Queensborough President Melinda Katz. In recent news, there is much controversy about the closing of Rikers Island. As we all may or may not know, Rikers Island is New York City's main jail facility. Rikers is on its own island and sits on the East River between Queens and the Bronx and shadows New York LaGuardia's airport. Mayor de Blasio has proposed a plan for keeping crime down, finding alternatives to jail. Mayor de Blasio wants to modify old off-island jails and propose building new jails in neighborhoods that agree to have them. Now, how do you feel about the jails going up in Queens, and do people really want a jail facility opened in their community?
There's no doubt that there's something that needs to be done about Rikers. It's large, it's hard to manage, it's got a reputation that needs to be dealt with. And I give the mayor credit for trying to deal with that, and the governor as well. Both of them have been working to try and figure out what the right answer is. I think the fact that we're waiting a lot of years to make the right decisions is a good step. You know, Queens has a detention center that used to be held for people that were waiting for trial. And so we're in a little bit of a different situation than other boroughs. The detention center is literally right next to the courthouses. You could get into the detention center, go downstairs, go through a tunnel, get into the courthouse for the hearing, and really never be on the street, right? And never have to use vans and trucks and drivers to get you there and come in and out of the neighborhood. So I think we're in a little bit of a different scenario than some of the boroughs. Having said that, you know, we want to make sure that we're doing the right thing. And so I take a little bit of solace in the fact that we are waiting to make sure that it's done right. At the same time, you have people like Judge Lipman who are in charge of the task force that you know, the leaders have put together to make sure that we have that we arraign folks quickly, that there are policies put in place to make sure that we don't have people waiting there for months and months and months just to have a trial or get arraigned. So it's going to be an interesting end of the battle to see what happens on Rikers.
What do you think should be done about NYCHA, the New York City Housing Authority?
Yeah, NYCHA needs to be run well. It needs to give the respect to the folks that live there by having the proper heat and light and all of that that comes with being responsible for where people are raising their families and being responsible for where people live. At the same time, you know, there are many thousands of units that have been vacant in NYCHA that, you know, me and a few of the other elected officials have talked about moving, you know, using some of that for homeless services as well. And so I think that there is a great trend to figure out how to run it better and what to do there better. But at a time when, you know, the homeless crisis has really increased so much that people need to have homes, you know, you need to figure out how to utilize every available apartment and every available location in order for the homes, for folks to have homes.
And do you feel Queens is doing that or trying to go in the right direction?
We are trying to go in the right direction. I think there is a lot that needs to be done at NYCHA. I think the mayor is talking about how to make sure that it's run properly. I think that the fact that there were complaints about heat over the last few weeks has woken, hopefully, a lot of folks up to the fact that, you know, you really need to have people be able to live respectfully.
Right.
And, you know, We have NYCHA so that people are off the streets and so that there are places for folks to raise their families. And with that has to come the respect that is deserved of every family in the city of New York. And so I think that we are trying to establish that.
In recent months, the MTA has been a nightmare for subway riders in New York City. What do you believe should be done in regards to the MTA, especially affecting your county, Queens?
Yeah, you know, Queens is in a novel spot with transportation. We are only one third covered by the subways. And the truth is, as important as the 7 train is or the E train or the F train, our buses and different modes of transportation like ferries and prospective modes of transportation like the air train or things like that end up being crucial to the way of life of the people in Queens. But clearly the subways, you know, I know that Joe Loda and Pat Foy are really making great efforts in trying to make them run better. But we also need to have buses that run on time, the bus clocks that actually work, and things like that. And, you know, we are in constant communication with the bus, with the subways, with the MTA. But clearly, you know, look, we have the 7 train. It can take you 3 trains to get into Manhattan from the 7 train. And then you have the situation where, you know, it's like a bad joke, right? We built Long Island City all around the 7 train because of the transportation and because it was so great. And then every other week they shut it off in order to make amendments and reforms to the system. And so then you end up with a whole community built around great transportation that doesn't exist. I will tell you that I think one of the greatest benefits to the city of New York has been the ferry system, a different system, not the MTA. But, you know, we have now 3 ferries from the borough of Queens in the Rockaways and Long Island City, Astoria. It's an amazing addition to the city of New York. And the fact of the matter is it's a 5-borough ferry system, so it has all these legs, right? And what that means to me as the borough president is that you can't get rid of one of the legs, right? You can't just say, you know what? We don't think that we should have ferry service anymore from Hunters Point South. We're just going to get rid of it. And you can't do that when it's part of a 5-borough system. And so I think it was a smart move on the city's part. And I think it's going to have great, great effects on the economy of our great city.
Now, in 2018, you got reelected as Queensborough president. Going forward this year and your term, what can you see yourself doing differently that you did as opposed to last year?
I think we want to continue a lot of the great work that we've done. You know, one of the biggest issues in Queens, just from an elected official's point of view and as a borough president's, like how you can deal with things point of view, is education. You know, we are the most overcrowded borough in the entire city of New York when it comes to schools. We're at like, I think it's like 115%, like probably more like 113% now. Capacity in every one of our schools, and none of the other boroughs have that. And we also have these trailers, right, that were supposed to be temporary 30 years ago, 40 years ago, and now they're rusting and they're old and they're still there. But out of about 140 trailers, we've gotten rid of about 50 over the last 4 years, and we want to continue getting rid of those trailers and getting the kids inside the schools. Pre-K is a huge item for me. You know, it's funny, I have an older son and a younger son, a 9-year-old and a 6-year-old. The 9-year-old, we didn't have pre-K. We didn't have full-day pre-K free from the Department of Education. But that was recent. Yes. My 6-year-old was able to partake in free full-day pre-K, which, you know, has just been, I think, a game changer in the city of New York.
Absolutely.
I mean, talk about equalizing out, you know, the education for our children. And also talk about the economy. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, parents and you know, I'm raising my children in Forest Hills on my own. And, you know, it's talk about the fact that people can drop their children off at 8 o'clock in the morning and they don't have to pick them up at 11.
Right.
Which is how the old pre-K was.
Right.
So they're there until 3 o'clock, 2:30, 3 o'clock. And that's really a game changer, I think, for most households.
I know you have the State of the Borough address coming up on Friday, January 26th. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about this? How can someone go, RSVP?
So they can RSVP for the State of the Borough January 26th at Frank Sinatra High School at 10 in the morning on our website, queensbp.org. They can just go right on and RSVP for that. And what that is what we have been doing over the last few years and where we see the city in the year 2030. There's a lot of things that have been happening in the last few years that will culminate in the next few. And I'll give you an example. You know, we have Willits Point. Willits Point is right near Flushing Meadow Park, and it's an area that is a 61-acre piece of property that we have been planning on building out for many, many years. There, in 2008, we did a urban renewal plan, and since then, it's just been a lot of different issues that have arisen from that. And I mean, I think your listeners will know they go to the Mets.
Right
at Citi Field, and right next to it are a lot of the auto mechanic places.
Yes.
And so the city years ago planned on buying up a lot of those properties and building affordable housing and building office space and building retail and all of that, like an entire community.
Wow.
And so over the last 4 years, you know, we've been working to make that happen. I think you're going to see a culmination of that over the next few years. In addition to, you know, upgrading the New York State Pavilion, getting the trailers out of our school system, rebuilding a lot of the parks in the borough of Queens because a lot of our families, you know, we always say, if it's good for families, it's good for Queens. A lot of our families rely on our park system. And also the economic development. You know, we are rebuilding two of the biggest airports on the East Coast. That is the second largest economic boost or employer in the borough of Queens. The first is actually healthcare. Just FYI, in case anyone's interested, the first is healthcare. But the airports employ the second largest number of constituents in the borough of Queens. So to see that culmination, I think, is an important boost for the borough of Queens. And at the same time, the train to the plane to LaGuardia Airport, and I would love to see a one-seat ride to JFK, right? I'd love to see, get on a train at JFK. Right now, you get on a train to JFK. And you go to Jamaica.
Right.
And then in Jamaica, you switch for the railroad or the subways to go to Manhattan or to anywhere else in the city of New York.
Right.
You know, we would love to see a one-seat ride, which is you get on the train at JFK and you get to go right to Manhattan, which is, by the way, how most other airports do it in the world.
Just not New York right
Just
now.
Just not New York right now. We're working on it.
I want to personally thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to talk to me and our Nash listeners about Queens and how you're looking to make a difference in the community in which you serve.
We appreciate it. We appreciate what 94.7 does in the city of New York, providing the great country music. And your show, I love your show.
Thank
gives
you.
A lot of great public service, a lot of great public information for people to know. So good luck with it, and thank you, Tiffany.
Thank you so much. That was the Queensborough President, Melinda Katz. This has been Nash Matters with Tiffany Marie on Nash FM 94.7.
If you'd like your organization or charity featured on Nash Matters, contact us through our website at NashFM947.com. And thank you for listening to Nash Matters on New York's Nash FM 94.7.